And they want it bumped up to 16.
Yep, because they believe that that probably will be the average density of all these buildings.
Well, what's been presented to us in the past? Isn't it?
The density for the first three apartments was under that 8 and 12.
Okay.
So met that current density. The one building on the parcel by itself is really close to that limit. Might have been a little bit over even, depending on how you count it. But we did approve it anyways as a site plan in our discussion. But now remember, this senior apartment will be over 8 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
The N1 building will be over 8 and 12. And they would let those be approved as special uses.
They just want to make it easier to move forward.
I think we want to reflect, just like the four stories, we want it reflective of our master plan. And on the apartments, you know, prior to the senior, we were going to do another
100 and some.
So I don't know the math off the top of my head, but.
Oh, the apartments were much greater. I mean, and they've come down in the numbers.
We took two apartments out and replaced it with the proposed senior, which we'll get to. But
yes.
And our rationale there is we're trying to match densities on a line on a sheet of paper that don't exist when you're standing out there. So just look at the entire parcel, average it out that way. We can redraw property lines to make parcels bigger and smaller to meet different densities. It doesn't change the product that we've been presenting. So we're just average it on the whole site, and at 16, and we're...
Instead of going in hypotheticals, what's the reality that you're going to have a six-story building there?
No, we're still not asking for
that. We didn't approve
it
for six stories.
You couldn't park it.
Right, Mr. Deal? We approved four stories.
Yeah.
I think the developer here is probably saying four stories. Okay. So I need a motion to change this to 16 then. And what's the correlating? Because there's underground parking in all of this, right? Mm-hmm. And, okay. So I think we've got sufficient parking in this corridor.
This is item 24, Joel. Be striking.
Gross density?
Line 24.
Yeah. Is there a motion to strike 24?
Move strike item 24.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? The motion passes. Four in favor, none against. Okay. Now you got page 27.
So now this is the senior housing. They are requesting that the memory care residence facility be added as a permitted use. Community living arrangement be changed from a special use to a permitted use. And that the multiple family residential housing for older persons be changed from a special use to permitted use. Staff is recommending those all three changes.
Well, Commissioner Fowler.
And the issue again is, Joel, is this just a violation of the ordinance, or is there some reason to do this?
I have a number of reasons. One is I don't believe that this is compatible with the overall development to near the extent that the regular apartments are. This is a mixed-use, sports-anchored development. The persons in the memory care and the assisted living will have limited opportunities to participate in not only the sports-related elements, but I believe most of the elements of this development. The other concerns I have are that I believe that these activities, hours, and traffic would impact those tenants. Long hours, bright lights, lots of traffic, the people in the memory care unit. Also, I would believe that that's taking away the authority from the common council to make these calls. Again, if these uses change, memory care is probably going to be a CDRF. Changes to that, we have very little control over. Whatever control we would have should rest in the hands of the common council. So
So if the are you talking about the facility ever changing in a future time frame, where, let's say, 50 years from now, the population of the baby boomers is passed on and the numbers start to dwindle? Is that what you're talking about?
Additional CBRS, additional increasing of the memory care component, those changes.
I don't know if you're going to have any more room.
Assisted living component, those changes could occur, have occurred in other projects.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if it's approved as recommended by the applicant, council doesn't have to set it's up to the commission. And there's less public notice, no public hearing.
So you're recommending that the council make this decision, and not this committee?
I'm also recommending that the memory care not be allowed at all.
But that decision goes to the common council.
So, can I just make a comment?
Yes.
So first and foremost, and while I appreciate Joel's comments, what he said there is I don't believe that this is kind of core to this development. It's just, that's an opinion.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
As the developer, I believe, and I wrote a thesis and I shared it with everybody, that it's a big piece, it's a cornerstone of the development. There's data that shows that that's where mixed use is going. Counter to what Joel said, that mixed use is starting to bring in senior. But most importantly, I mean, I don't operate these things. We've got somebody that wants to be here. We have an operator that does this time and time and time again, and they see this as a huge advantage for their senior living community. So I think those are interesting reasons that say actually the market always dictates, and the market's really strong for these folks. Now, from a baseball side, from a walkability side, this is going to be great walkability. They've got transportation. They can talk about all of that. And we brought them here, and I want to give them an opportunity to talk a bit. But you know, we actually like it in terms of even tapping into the senior folks for additional job creation. You know, we've got to hire a ton of folks for the baseball, for golf, and we are really intrigued about, you know, tapping into, you know, seniors. So we think it fits Joel really nicely.
I mean, yeah, I'll speak, you know, for people with disabilities. Hey, they enjoy getting out of their CBRFs and going to the zoo, going to a ballpark, interacting and interrelating with normal citizens. We're all aging, but just because we get to a certain age doesn't mean we're just sitting there and waiting to die. I've got a disabled sister that's 61 years old. She loves to go to the zoo and the ball game, and she'll go see the Appleton Timber Rattlers and go to the football game up in Green Bay in the nice weather. And she's severely disabled. But, you know, history, the times have changed in regards to how we take care of people, the aging population, and what people do. We used to have state hospitals that took care of people. The money and the funding isn't there. We've transitioned it to CBRFs. Now we've got private care facilities. And the growing aging population, the demographics are probably known. These gentlemen wouldn't be coming into this area if there wasn't a need. But just because they're in a home in a transitional facility doesn't mean that they don't want to be part of a community. And maybe part of a good community, a great community. So I know it's up to the commission. And, hey, should we at least give the courtesy of the gentlemen that have been waiting here? And why don't you introduce yourselves? You did introduce yourselves once before to us. You're from Minnesota. You can come up here. We got to record this, so... why don't you give us a brief background of your experience, where you've built these facilities in the past, and your brief highlights.
Yeah, my name is Bill Craik. I'm with we're with New Perspective Senior Living. This is Todd Novacek.
I'm Todd Novacek. I'm CEO and founder of New Perspective. This is our 20th year in business. We currently own and manage 21 different senior communities that are comprised of independent, assisted living, and memory care. In four states, approximately 2,200 residents reside in our communities, and we have six here in Wisconsin. We're up in Howard by Green Bay. We're in West Bend, Sun Prairie, Brookfield, and Mequon, and are working on others. We view the whole Wisconsin area as like you said, everybody's aging, and they have a particular large number of 75 and 80-plus-year-olds who eventually are going to need some assistance, and that's what we provide. To get back to one comment that was made about interaction and intergenerational involvement, it isn't just about the senior who's going to be living in our community. They are surrounded by family, numerous family, and grandchildren, numerous grandchildren. We have events and activities and everything going on in our communities all the time, and we view this, and that's why we got involved in talking to Mr. Zimmerman, is just that we want to be part of an intergenerational. And I have several friends around the country, one in particular out in the Seattle market, that just really built a huge community with shopping and retail and multifamily for millennials and younger, and then 55 and over, specific 55 and over developments, and then senior housing, which is typically 75 and over, that it provides services. So it's that full continuum, and that's going on around the country. And the walkability, I think somebody just mentioned, is wonderful. It's important, but I see family members bringing our folks over to the golf. You know, as you may say, why is an 85-year-old going to be? No, there are people. They want to hit golf ball. And even memory care, they may not take them for the whole game, but our staff could certainly take four, five, six residents and a couple staff members and go watch. Because back in their memory, they know ball. They know baseball, and they'll tell you stories. They'll regale you with stories about their days playing ball. They can't remember your name. They know you're maybe a significant person in their lives and that you care about them. But they'll tell you stories about, living on the farm and playing ball, town ball or whatever, because they remember that. It's back there in the recesses. So to your point, I think you're the one who mentioned, we don't count anybody out. We celebrate life for all residents, and I'll get off my soapbox, but thanks for giving us the time to say that.
Well, there's a significant difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. And, dementia, your long-term memory is still there. Yeah. Alzheimer's is the deterioration of decades, and it declines relatively quick.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, on that. So, there's plenty of people, men and women alike, that suffer from dementia and forms of dementia, but are very much there. They know what's going on, and then sometimes they don't know what's going on, and that's the rough times, and that's where the care comes in.
They can still be involved and active.
Oh, definitely. Commissioner.
On your memory care facility, is it going to be age limited? So you could possibly we have memory issues with veterans, particularly people with PTSD, don't they have memory issues?
Yes.
So you would, and there's a dearth, there's not enough facilities. I have a cousin who's got PTSD, they can't find a facility for him. Now he's in Nebraska and it's issues. But
in our particular communities, we break up our memory care, which is typically somewhere between 46, 48 usually, and we have three pods. 12, 12, and like 24 is an example. And the idea is that the pods are meant that we can do the flex where we may have some folks with Parkinson's who are advancing, maybe MS, veterans is a big push for us right now. We just actually got involved with a third-party group that represents veterans, because most of them don't know there is some available funds out there for them right. to experience senior housing. So we're getting involved in that. So, yes, we're looking at how to give them different environments within the memory care community.
Your facility will be the closest to a lot of the facilities they're talking about building, like the baseball, the yeah. bars, all this nighttime operation. The neighbors have legitimate concerns yeah. about the noise and the lighting. Now, I would think the managers of your facility are going to be the first ones that have concerns about lighting and noise, because your residents will have issues. So they might be a check on this whole operation that might mollify some of the neighbors' issues, because you're going to say, wait, we're the closest. We can't have some of these things. And they'll be working with the facility operators to say, what you're doing there is not working for our residents, and we are members of this community, and they need to address those. Would that not be the case?
It is, but I think the
I mean, you guys are trying to.
One thing we're talking about.
I'm not trying to create a problem.
No, but one thing we're talking about, and Bill heads up all our construction. But one thing, because we're on a highway there and it's noisy, we're already talking about a beefed up window product that's going to be sound reduction, and we have lines.
And really, what happens, and you know, when you look at the facilities we build, people want activity around them. I mean, seniors want activity around them. They don't. You know, you look at the rooms that go the soonest is the rooms that they can look out and see something going on. They don't want to look at, you know, most people don't want to stare out at trees or a pond, or they like the activity part of it. The other thing I want to touch on the memory care. You know, what we're proposing is, I think it's 46 memory care beds in this facility. That's restricted by a certain building type, right? We wouldn't be able to just all of a sudden expand that into, you know, three floors of memory care, because our building wouldn't be built appropriately to meet code for those types of residents. So we're fine with fixing that number, you know, at that 46 mark. So Joel was talking about, okay, what happens if all of a sudden now it's 100 memory care? That I don't see that happening. You know, as far as the type of people that come in here, we have independent people come in here. We have people in their 60s that move in here. And you know, and what the great thing about it is they can age in place, right? A lot of people come in and do all their cooking themselves, or have one meal, and next year they want to have somebody help them clean their space. Great, we can help them with that. Medication as they age in place. People don't want to move into a facility and then have to move out, you know, because... the other thing that happens is you'll have spouses come in, you know, somebody with memory care and somebody that isn't. Our apartments are going to be as nice or nicer than the apartments that are getting built across the streets. I mean, these are large units and nice granite and everything you'd expect in a really nice building. So
you're looking at a build out of what per square foot?
Cost per square foot?
Yeah.
About $130 a square foot.
Okay.
And in a good example, we have several in this surrounding area that are really good examples of what we're proposing. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Deal?
So again, it's up to the Planning Commission if they wish to go along with what the applicant is recommending, and we'll have to strike the condition. Would you recommend to go along or agree with staff's recommendation, then you have to take no action needed. Or if you want to make any revisions, you have to add that.
Which condition correlates to it?
I've got one more.
Adam.
One thing that we didn't talk about that was listed in staff's concerns is the fire department's opposition because they're worried about their EMS response. I understand that there might be something that works to fix that, but I guess is there any comment from the applicant on that? I would agree with the fire department, and if they have an issue and they're worried about response time, that only affects your residents, that affects the community in general.
Yeah, that's Adam, it's a great question. I have literally spoken with the mayor and the fire marshal at length about this, and we recently went back and we did a study internally of 1,200 of our residents over a period of time, and found that, according to the fire marshal, he's saying we project that we will visit your community one time per year per resident. So if we have 140 residents, he's saying we're going to be there 140 times in the next 12 months. So we did our own research, talked to other companies around the country, and found out in our example, surveying our 911 calls, we were at 0.54.
So about a half.
So if it's 140 units, we're going to say that somewhere between 70 and 80 visits per year to that community, based on our experience. Part of the reason is we have nursing around the clock. Nurses, not, we're not skilled nursing, but we have nurses. Their role is to, is not to send the resident to the hospital, because many, many times with the, it starts a downward spiral, and it's really hard on them once they end up in a strange environment or whatever, and it just exacerbates it. So that's our findings, but it's a good point. And I will then maintain, and this is just my opinion, the paramedics are going to have to go to Walgreens to help somebody who's fallen in Walgreens. They're going to have to go to the apartment or the home or the condo or wherever they are in the community. And so the calls are going to be there. We believe that if they're living in our community, we're going to help reduce that. And that's what our research shows. So did you...
Yeah, just, you know, and we're not starting from zero going to 70. If this didn't happen, we'd put in 100-some units of apartment buildings with 200-some residents in it. And I don't know what – so you're not starting at zero, whatever that number would be. I think the delta is getting – it's rather small.
Yeah.
If there is a delta at all, even.
And there are big impact fees, too. You guys are now part of doing business in the right.
And it's – the other thing, too, you know, you look at – people that are going to move in here are going to be from, there's going to be a big number of people from Franklin, right? So it's going to, and you can argue about how many people that is, but if it's 30-40% of the people that come into our building, those are people that are not sitting in their house and falling over or tripping down the steps or whatever the emergency is. You know, so they're, you know, it's people that could be in that situation anyways that are going to have that call, that are not in the house where they're getting the call. They're coming to our facility, so it's hard to say. Okay, if you look at 80 or whatever the fire marshal thinks, that's a total increase in calls.
And has that been discussed with the fire department? Has this alleviated their concerns, their opposition, or are they still, in light of that information, remain opposed?
We have not had discussions with the fire marshal on it. I mean, other than you've met with them.
I believe, I may be wrong, I think the mayor is still on record as being anti-senior housing. That's what he's told me, and I'm not telling anything out of school. But the point is, we're here. We believe we have a valid request to be, I think, what we find in, I mean, if you call the mayor of West Bend right now, you call the mayor of Howard, you call the mayor of Brown, they're going to tell you, they're going to say this is a wonderful asset to this community, and they'll give you a whole bunch of reasons. I mean, we'll employ 80, not you care, I mean, that much, I mean, you might, but we'll employ 80 full-time equivalents in this community. And that should equal somewhere around $2.8 roughly $1 million a year in wages for those 80 folks. And so there's all kinds of reasons, but I know the mayor and the fire, I mean, they're saying this is a stress on our system. And with all due respect, I would say, look, the tsunami's coming. I mean, I'm on the leading edge of that baby boomer. I mean, the very leading edge. And there's 80 million of us today. And they're projecting in 2030, 12 short years from now, it's going to be still 60. So still in that many 12 years, there's still going to be 60 million babies, and they're all going to be in their 80s at that point. I don't know how we as society are going to deal with the challenges we're going to have with six, even if it's 60 million, 80-plus-year-olds who are going to need services. We could not build enough of these communities. So the stress on communities all over the country is going to be this. We're at a major tipping point here, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I just got to say, I think somehow communities, municipalities, we've got to figure out how we're going to deal with this. And whether it's a service call to Walgreens or a service call to their home, or I don't care if they're living with their daughter and they fall down, they're going to get a call. So we think it's better if they're with us, because we hopefully can manage it better. I mean, we have a full physical therapy group on site in every community with all the equipment and a warm water therapy pool to work them out, to exercise, and to do what? Strengthen them. Get the core stronger so that when they may start tripping, they may catch themselves or don't go down as hard and then break something. So, I mean, we go to that extent to get them involved in actual fitness programming, and it's for one reason. It's to prolong the quality of their life, help them live life on purpose for a longer period of time. So, again, I don't mean to monopolize, but it's a valid argument. It's being had in every community, everywhere we go, and it's something we're going to have to figure out how to deal with, because 80-year-olds are living longer and longer and longer, and it's not going to stop.
There's also private options as well.
Yes.
To have an evaluation. It doesn't have to be a 911 call to our city. Yep. It could be private serviced ambulatory assistance.
Yep. Exactly.
Thank
you for giving us the time.
But the demographics, I'm going to agree with him. If you look at all the planning studies that show what is happening in these populations, the number of police officers and fire are going to have to be increased at some point.
It
because
has.
Of the number of individuals that are reaching that age plateau. So
we're not going away.
My father went through this. My mother went through it. They suffer from dementia. There's just a lack of facilities. Yep. So, I mean, or the cost of the facility, because there aren't enough.
Do we look at taking care of our own within our community? Yeah. And they've been citizens and taxpayers for years and years and years? Or do we say, hey, well, we don't want to take care of the old, and we're going to ship them out to somewhere else?
Go to Oak Creek.
Sister City. Okay, Joel, corresponding.
There's a couple of them. Condition number 23
pertains to memory care. Mm-hmm.
If you wish it to be a permitted use, strike number
23.
Do I have
a motion to strike number
23? Move strike 23. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against?
No.
Roll call. I'll have to vote in this matter. But do the roll call first.
Commissioner Burkhart?
No.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Alderman Andrea?
Well, I'm at the end.
Commissioner Morrow?
Aye.
Commissioner Fowler?
Aye.
Alderman Andrea?
I will vote aye. The motion passes. 4 in favor, 1 against. Then the next one that correlates to it.
Actually, all of them were in there.
Oh, good. Okay, gentlemen. Good night.
Thank you.
The changes, though, were community living arrangement and
the transitional. Sure. Okay.
50%.
Did that handle 28 as well? Page 28.
Yes.
Okay.
I do think it's getting much quicker.
You're going to give me a ride, huh? I got my bike.
Next one is page 32.
Forever.
Oh, we can go forever, he said. 32?
32 is a landscaping change. This is also addressed by an earlier condition.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ah, come on, pages.
Now we're
38. This is
okay.
It's page 44.
No, how about 38?
No objection.
No objection? Okay. No objection on 40?